Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, last week when we broadcast from the Saltwater Brewery there in Delray Beach, she was there, but I didn't have an opportunity to really talk to her much on the radio. But Sue Cocking, who was with us in Cuba, was there at the event, and she's with us on Scuba Radio right now. Sue, how are you?
Doing just fine. How are you?
I'm good. Have you drank up all your Cuban rum yet? Because you brought home, well,
no,
I know.
You know what? I never drank any of it.
None.
Brought it home, and I presented it to my family. Three bottles worth.
Well, there you go. It's a good way to barter favors from friends and family, for sure. That's how I pay.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much how I pay our entire crew here at Scuba Radio. but what are you going to do? All right. So, but let's talk about you. You've gotten rid of, you've had some time that has passed since our event in Cuba. And you wrote a cool blog about the trip. First, it was about, you know, visiting Cuba in the first place. You broke it up, and it's at the Guy Harvey Outpost website, right? It's guyharveyoutpost.com.
Yes, it's guyharveyoutpost.com, exactly.
Yeah. So you can find Sue Cocking's blog right there on the website, so you can find out a little bit about our trip. And then the second part of the blog was about the diving, and really get into what we saw off of Maria La Gorda. And evidently, right before that got published, I was traveling last week. I get this email or text from some of the people that were in our group that were complaining about an article that popped up in Undercurrent. And that's one of those, it's a newsletter. They claim to be unbiased and don't take advertising, blah, 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 whatever. And it's an anonymous review of the Maria La Gorda Resort from one of the people that was in our group. Did that surprise you as much as it surprised me?
Yes, I was really surprised when I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like all the negatives and none of the positives.
Exactly. It was mind-boggling that this person was actually on our trip. I was shocked, as well as everybody else. I mean, it started a big, email, communication between, the 20-plus folks that we had on our trip that were like, hey, did you see this? Was this person on our trip? It was mind-boggling what you see. And it was an anonymous review, but it was obviously somebody that was in our group. And we know who it is just because of what they said and what had happened on the trip. But it was very interesting that they did seem to zero in on all the negatives of what it's like to travel to Cuba and do some diving. Because I had a phenomenal trip, and from the blog that you posted on Guy Harvey, it appears you had a similar experience to me as opposed to what I read in Undercurrent. Are you with me on this or what?
Oh, absolutely. It's like I had heard all these crazy things before we went to Cuba. I had heard that they dynamited their reefs, that they bleached their reefs, that there was no more marine life, that it was covered with algae, blah, 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 blah. Hmm. And when we got there, it was none of those things.
No.
I mean, the reefs were beautiful. It looked like something you would see in Grand Cayman.
Well, one of the things that blew me away is when we, this was my second trip to Maria La Gorda there in Cuba. And I love it. I mean, I want to go back again. And is there room for improvement for a resort or for the island in general? Of course there is. But the diving, You know, the first trip I went out there, I only got to do one dive, and this time we got to go back and do a few. But as you remember, when we got there, a tropical storm something was swinging through the island and really mucked things up. And our trip over to the resort from Havana, we had to, you know, traverse some pretty wet, you know, flooded areas as we made our way to the southwest side of the island. I thought for sure, I was like, you know, we're going to get there. We're supposed to do a dive this afternoon. It's been raining and storming for the last few days. The diving's going to be terrible. It's going to be clouded up. There's going to be no viz. But yeah, better to be underwater and doing something than doing nothing. And lo and behold, we get there. It's still raining a little bit and still kind of cloudy. But you got off onto the dive, and I was like, my God, look, we got all this visibility. I was shocked how much visibility we had. Were you?
I was, too. I mean, they had a tropical storm that went through that area not even 24 hours before, and it was still going through.
Yeah.
And the visibility was still, it was okay. It was like right. Miami on a good day. And then as we got along during the week, and the rain went away, and it cleared up, and the sun came out, the visibility got better every single day.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, I've been in other areas where if you had a storm like that, it would be at least 2 or 3 days before you got visibility back to, you know, acceptable type levels of diving. So whatever's going on in that part of Cuba, it was impressive how the visibility held its own and cleared up quicker as I did. But you read the article that the lady wrote for Undercurrent, she's complaining, oh my God, it was terrible, blah blah blah, and I'm like, what are you talking about? What kind of point of reference are you coming at with this? So you know, I'm not a fan of that type of reporting, because look, you know, you want to nitpick any place, anywhere, any kind of diving, of course you could do that, but I guess I'm a half you know, the cup's half full type of guy. You agree with me on that or what do you think?
Yeah, I do. It's like, yeah. It's like Cuba has been a closed society for like decades. And I mean, just the privilege of being able to go there and, you know, some of the first Americans like in a group to come there in a while, you know, and be able to enjoy the diving. And to me, the diving was much better than expected. Like I'd heard all these crazy things from people that claimed that they knew about it. And to me, it was so much better than I'd heard or even expected.
Yeah, and you know, we just got a small little slice of what they have in Cuba. We were at one location on the southwest side of Cuba. Nowhere near have we covered all the diving opportunities they have, and yet you get someone who writes a review of the resort, and it just kind of gives the whole thing a black eye. I don't know. To me, that was irresponsible, and I know I'm kind of upset about that a little bit, and I don't want to divert from what you've done, because you actually put out a solid report that I absolutely agree with. You gave everybody the facts, what it's like, some of the things you'll see if you go to Cuba, and once again, it's at guyharveyoutpost.com, Sue Cocking's blog. So have you already gotten some positive feedback along those lines from some other people that may have experienced the same thing or what, Sue? What do you think?
Well, you know, some of my friends, like on Facebook, and some of my other friends who read the blog, they read it and they said they'd like to go. I mean, I got a lot of outpouring of people saying, boy, I'd really like to do that. How can I do it? How can I sign up? Because they're concerned about, you know, you have to be one of the 12 categories of approved travel and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So people are just trying to figure out a way they can get there. I don't really think the Undercurrent review discouraged anybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, I whether it discouraged anybody or not, I guess my point of bringing that one up is that you got to take that stuff with a grain of salt and just know that it's somebody's opinion and it's not necessarily based on factual information every time. And not, you know, and everybody has a right to their opinion, don't get me wrong, but you got to look at what you're going to see. And when you see something spewed out there from one quick little trip that we had, I don't know, you can't rate the thing. And I guess that's what I'm pointing. They like give it stars and all this garbage and stuff like that. Whereas your report is just say, hey, you want to go to Cuba, you will go to Maria Lagorda there in Cuba and do some diving. Here are some of the things you'll see, you know, and this is what you can expect. You're not necessarily saying, hey, it's the best diving in the world. And you're not necessarily, you know, comparing it to other places. But here's what you could, you know, you might see. And does that appeal to you? You might want to go check it out. I'm in that camp by far. I would, as I said, I'm planning to go back. Are you?
I would love to go back.
Yeah.
And if I were going back, I'd like to both dive and fish. I mean, if I could go back and do both, I'd love to do it.
Sure. Yeah, maybe another stop off at the tobacco farm, rum distillery. You know, there's so many other topside activities that you can do in Cuba. That's really what sets it apart from my standpoint. I mean, the diving's going to be great anywhere you go. You know, so it just depends on the weather and, you know, the critters that happen to be swimming by that day and that kind of thing. So I think the icing on the cake, at least for Cuba right now, is definitely topside. And the fact, like you said, that we've never been able to go there. And it's just a new experience. And it's only 90 miles away from Key West, so it's easy to get to. And I can't wait. Now, Sue, I know you've been doing a lot of traveling since then. You know, we saw you at the brewery, and we'll reflect on that. But you've been doing some scallop hunting, and I want to ask you about what's been going on with that. Can you hang over for another segment for me?
Sure.
All right, cool. Sue Cocking from Guy Harvey Outpost is our guest. We got more with her next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Somewhere in the middle of the 7 mile bridge, he said, Bella, do you want to see the rest? She said, I haven't a care, Lenny, just take me there. And they drove all the way to Key West.
I want to go.
US 1, heading down US 1.
Hi, this is Mermaid Tony from the Florida Keys. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now, here's the guy who's the reason I won't drink another Jaeger bomb.
You just wake up in a room and have no idea where you are.
Until the next time we meet.
All right, who wants to party?
Greg, the Dive Master.
Who's known as having the silkiest, smoothest voice in the 90s.
Giggity.
Yes, seeing Mermaid Tony at the Saltwater Brewery last week was a lot of fun. And she had her new little baby with her. Future mermaid, it's a guy. So she's like, no, he's not going to do that. But She's going to make better choices than I would. So that's a good thing for him. Now, we have Sue Cocking from Guy Harvey Outpost as our guest right now. She just posted a blog about our trip to Cuba at Maria Lagorda. You can go to GuyHarveyOutpost.com and look for Sue Cocking's blog, and you can read all about it. It's good stuff for sure. Great read. And but I know you're doing prep for new stuff as well. By the way, are you writing some stuff about the Saltwater Brewery thing that we did, or are you posting about that too, or no?
Well, no, I didn't really get into that. But,
you just focused on the drinking.
Yeah, basically.
I don't blame you. But I know you're, you're north of Tampa right now doing some scallop hunting. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And boy, is it good up here. We're up in Steinhatchee. It's a tiny little town about an hour and a half north of Tampa.
And is that over there by, is that right over there by Weekiwachee and that neck of the woods?
It's a little north of there. It's
okay.
Like, keep going. If you're in Crystal River or Weekiwachee, keep going north.
All right.
It's in the Big Bend of Florida. It's a small town. Probably only got about 1,000, 1,500 full-time residents. It's absolutely beautiful. The weather is glorious. And everybody here is getting their limit of scallops every day.
Very nice.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, now
it's the best year we've seen in years.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
All right,
yeah.
So the limit, is it by bucketful? Or how do they do the limit on scallops?
It's like per person, they do it by pints. And per boat, they do it by, gallon buckets.
Gallon buckets,
we went out
okay.
yesterday, and we had five people scalloping on our boat, and we were allowed to bring back 10 gallons of whole scallops.
Wow.
And that's what we brought. And then, you can come to any of the marinas or here in Steinhatchee. Like, you can come to Sea Hag, or you can come to Good Times. There's a lot of different marinas, and they have people here right at the docks that will clean your scallops for a certain fee per pound. And if they're all busy, you can drive around in the neighborhoods, and you'll see signs outside the houses in the residential neighborhoods where people will actually, clean your scallops for you.
Really?
Because if you don't really know what you're doing, you're going to waste a lot of meat.
Yeah.
And the scallop meat is very small. Like, a little scallop nugget that you get from the shell is about the size of your thumb. And if you, hack at all the pieces and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to waste a lot of the meat.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really worth it. You'll have more of a fun time if you get one of the local people to do it for you, because they're much quicker than you are, and you'll enjoy the experience a lot more, not having to wade through scallop guts.
Yes, exactly. It's like shucking oysters, and if you're
exactly.
not expert at that and don't have the proper tools, which usually include some kind of thing that crack the scallop open like a like an oyster. But the trick I found, and did you see anybody using a wet vac?
No.
Yeah, that's what.
No,
when
I
did
that.
I've
never heard of that.
Yeah, I did that. I went with some of our mermaids from Weekiwachee back in the day, probably 5-6 years ago at the maybe a little longer. And they cracked it open and they took a wet vac and sucked all the guts out of it, except the little, scallop meat. I was like, really? I was like, who has to clean that thing after we're done?
That's the only problem.
Yeah.
You're the unlucky person that's got to clean all the guts out of the wet vac.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. Yeah, but hey, the scallops are tasty, no doubt. So they're having a record season, though, in that neck of the woods, huh?
It's unbelievable. It's like the people I talk to think it's going to continue all the way probably through the end of the season, which is like it ends somewhere around the third week of September.
Wow.
So it's like people have plenty of time to get here and do it.
Now, are you diving
it's
for
really
them
good
or
here.
Are you diving for them or snorkeling or just
you
waiting or what?
You do not need scuba gear.
No?
A child as young as 5 or 6 can do this.
Yeah.
The ideal water depth for doing this is probably 4 to 6 feet of water. And a lot of the guides go when the tide is going out, because that way you start out, the water's clear, and then it gets shallower and shallower, even though it might murk up a little bit as the tide goes out.
Yeah.
It gets shallower, and so it's easier to see them. And it's like, let's put it this way. We went out yesterday. We had a group of 5 people, and we got our limit in 2.5 hours.
Wow.
I mean, it didn't even take a half day. Everybody's doing really, really good. It's a great year here.
You got 10 gallons worth of scallops in 2.5 hours.
Yes, we did.
So you're just snorkeling along, and then you see them on the sandy bed and just grab them like Easter eggs or what?
Yeah, it's well, you know, because you've done it. It's like an underwater Easter egg hunt.
Right.
But some tips would be to, you know, to look in the patchy grass where there's like sand spots surrounded by, you know, the eelgrass and the manatee grass.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they'll be right on the fringe between the grass and the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times later in the day when the sun gets up, they'll actually climb up on the grass blades of the eelgrass. And you'll be swimming along and they'll be right out there in the open.
Huh.
And you just pick them up. They're not dangerous. Dangerous.
Right.
You don't even need gloves.
Yeah.
You just leaned over and picked them up.
Well, I got to say, I remember when I saw them, we had a few of them that you'd grab and then they'd start swimming her off or something. And I'm like, whoa! Did you see any like swimming or whatever?
They were pretty clumsy. It's like when I would see them, it's like they look like these little, like in back in the 50s when they used to publish the pictures of flying saucers.
Right.
It would show like this flying saucer and there'd be all these lights around the middle of it. Well, that's exactly what a scallop looks like.
Yeah.
You're looking down at it and it looks like a miniature flying saucer.
Mm-hmm.
And the first clue that you have is you'll see his little eyes between the two scallop shells.
Yeah.
And then you know that's him.
You got him.
Like, and he'll try to close his eyes or do some stupid thing, but usually you can catch them. They don't swim very fast.
Yeah, no.
Lobster hunting is hand-to-hand combat. This is not.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is more of an Easter egg hunt type of thing.
Yes.
And which is a lot of fun, too, because it's easier in that sense.
And the food value is really amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You, like
we had
said,
them cook like five different ways last night over at Bittler's Restaurant. It was amazing.
Well, for a gallon of lobsters, to have some guy clean them, how much are they taking from you? Like, how much that cost you for a gallon?
Well, you mean scallops.
Yeah.
Yeah, because lobsters, there's nothing to clean in
there. Yeah, right.
It's usually between $7 and $8 a pound.
Okay.
That's what they charge.
A pound.
Because it's a lot of work. They've got to wade through, like, literally several hundred to 1,000 scallops, depending on how many people you got on your boat and all that stuff.
Then they'll take all the guts away and they'll dispose of them.
They take all the guts away.
Clean
and what
the
you
shop
are left
back.
With is a, yeah, it's a pristine plastic bag full of nice little meat nuggets that you are free to do with what you want.
Yummy. I'm getting hungry as we speak. All right.
Yep.
Well, will this show up on a Guy Harvey Outpost blog soon or what?
Yep, and I think won't be this week, probably next week. Yeah, it'll be on the GuyHarveyOutpost.com blog.
Yeah, by Sue Cocking. All right, Sue, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, and have fun scalloping.
Thank you.
All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We have connected to across the pond with Roz, our correspondent from that neck of the woods. Roz, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Greg. How are you doing, my dear?
I'm great. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on with the show. You know, I know you have been fairly busy there over in the UK, especially in the political world. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, we've managed to find a prime minister in 7 days flat, which is positively lightning compared with you trying to find a president, I guess.
This is true. There are definitely some things that we could probably learn from across the pond. But we'll leave politics where they are and the crapper where they belong.
Very wise.
Yes, yeah. But you saw the news about our big party in Dima coming up in November. How about that, huh?
And you don't look a day over 850, Greg.
Well, thank you. It'll be our 1,000th episode, and that really doesn't, you know, transfer into years. But it is almost 20. But I started when I was like 15. Something like
of
that.
Course.
Or no, 10. 10. Yeah, let's go with 10. But anyway, yeah, it'll be quite a party there in Vegas. It ends up our 1,000th episode of Scuba Radio. We'll be in Las Vegas. You're going to be there at the Dima show, right, in November?
Of course.
Yeah. And so you'll be a part of the festivities as we celebrate accordingly, I would imagine. You think?
It would be pretty wonderful, Greg. I'm very pleased to see you making 1,000. Well done.
Okay. Well, thank you. And pretty, I don't think, is the word I was thinking of that would describe the fiesta that will take place in Las Vegas. But you know, what happens in Vegas will show up on the radio for that special broadcast for sure.
Probably Facebook.
Yes, of course. Now, Roz, I know you got a lot of stuff that has been going on in the diving world across the pond. You ready to share? Ready to enlighten our listeners as you always do?
I've got a little story, a little local story, and a big international story for you, and both are good diving stories.
All right. Well, she's going to provide a little culture to our big show today. So that's Roz from the UK. She's joining us to do just that next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Well, look at that. You can see, I think those are whales right there.
Oh my God.
Check it
look
out.
At that. Look at that.
Look at that.
Those are, I believe, those are humpback whales,
yeah.
Conan. Those are humpback whales, and if there's got to be a school of them nearby. Now, this is freaky because we're early for the humpback migration season.
Well, check out. Look, the whales are breaching.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, no, they're not breaching. They are lunging. If they were to breach, actually 40% of them would come out of the water. I was wrong. They were breaching. That was a breach. That was not a lunge. It was a breach.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you that. A whale of a tale or two. About the flatbed fish and the girls I've loved. On nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale and it's all true. I swear by my tattoo.
I don't know if she has any tattoos, but Roz from the UK is with us on Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving right now from across the pond. Roz, care to answer that question, or would you prefer to just get right into some diving news?
A lady wouldn't answer that kind of question.
Okay, we'll leave that where it lies. Fair enough. But I know there has been a lot of stuff going on in your neck of the woods that affects the world. And I don't know if this rebreather news is isolated to the UK or comes from, you know, across the pond. But you tell me, Mari's bought who now? What happened?
Mari's have gone and bought Revo. Revo is the Belgium-based rebreather manufacturer.
Uh-huh.
And it was set up by Paul Rainmakers, and they've been going over 10 years. And on the 1st of July, Revo has been acquired 100% by Mari's.
Uh-huh, okay.
Which
Mari's
is
based in, are they Italian or something? Is that what Mari's is? Where are they based out of?
Yeah, they're based in Italy. And
yeah.
The idea is that it means that Revo is going to continue and develop and market the rebreathers. And Mari's is going to support the company with their research and development and with their manufacturing facilities and their worldwide distribution. So this is actually very exciting, and I wonder if we're going to see a new unit coming out of Revo because of this.
Yeah.
But having this kind of backing from Mari's, who is a recreational brand, but they've actually done a lot recently in the last 18 months, develop their tech brand and their tech range. They announced a new range at DEMA last year called the Extended Range.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've connected up with SSI as well. You know, this is a very exciting time, so
yeah.
I'm really curious to see how it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, they have been doing some very interesting things in the dive industry, especially Mari's when it comes to their distribution, working with SSI, and I think West Marine is connected with them in some capacity now, too, so, some of the boat dealerships here in the States. So they definitely got some unique distribution channels that Revo could probably benefit from that'll, I don't know, possibly mean better customer service for the folks that want to try out these rebreathers around the world to have a little bit more infrastructure to handle service and sales and that kind of thing, I'm guessing. Is that it?
Well, Paul's support has always been very, very good, but Revo was a small company, or is a small company.
Right.
And having the big backup of a bigger brand like Mari's, it can only make you stronger.
Yes.
So I think this is going to be a great time for rebreather divers.
Yeah, I agree. Now, have you dove that system, by the way, the Revo rebreather, yourself or no?
No, I haven't, but I know plenty of people who have, and it's a very sleek, very low-profile unit.
Yeah.
It has two scrubber units in it, It's an interesting unit. I would like to dive it at some point, but never had the opportunity yet.
Well, if I remember correctly, and I know Pete from Scuba Board has dove that unit before, and I've seen it. I think, isn't that the one with the canisters that are kind of square and rectangular, and like you said, they're a little bit more streamlined than a typical rebreather system? Am I getting that right? Or they're kind of flat, like, aren't they?
Yeah, they're flat. They're like cake tins. Yeah. If you think of a Victoria sandwich and what you would bake your cake in a Victoria sandwich, mm-hmm. they're kind of that size. They're small and round scrubber canisters.
Yeah, like a car air filter or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, yes. Okay. That's a good analogy.
Well, there you go. See, I am a genius. Most people don't agree with that, but yeah.
You're There's just so modest.
Yeah, okay. So that's one thing. That's good news. And we'll probably learn more about that at the DEMA show. So hats off to the folks at Revo for that. Now, what else is going on in your neck of the woods? What have you been up to?
Less good news, actually. You know, we were talking before the break about politics, and it's been an interesting time in Westminster. Well, bits of Westminster Abbey have been built with stone from Purbeck, which is in Dorset. And the way that it was got up to London was by ship. We're talking about the 1800s here.
Okay.
And in Swanage, where some of the stone was shipped from, there's a pier. And it was built in 1859. And then when they introduced a steamer service, they rebuilt it. And it was built in 1895, rebuilt. Well, now Swanage Pier is kind of desperately falling to pieces. It's been whammed by some storms and it's had been eaten by some kind of waterborne waterworm. And 41 of its timber piles are in a really bad condition. So Swanage Pier has launched a big refunding project. And basically, you can get your name on Swanage Pier for £250, which is very cool, on a brass plaque, including a personal message.
Interesting.
And you've got about 7 days to do this this funding campaign.
Okay. Well, you can do it online then, I guess, then.
You can do it online, Greg. So if you Google up Swanage Pier Trust, you can get on there, you can see the crowdfunding thing, and you can basically pay £250 and get your name on the pier.
All right.
And the money's going to help pay, restore this. Now, why is this important to us in the diving world? Well, it's an iconic diving site.
Yeah.
England's oldest dive school's there, Divers Down. They've been there for like 40-odd years. And it's the site of, you know, I did my first night dive under there. I did my first sea dive from there. I did my first boat dive from there.
Really?
It's kind of a very good nursery site for building brand new divers. And also it's a very good site when you've got new bits of kit to go and check out. You can go and play there happily.
Right. So if you get one of those new rebreather units from Revo, that would be a good site to do a little test dive with it from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I did a couple of years ago, I was doing something on my Poseidon, and a bunch of mates and I, we went down to Swanage Pier and we played underneath the pier to get things right before we went out to do a sea dive on the Kiara wreck. So it's absolutely bang on right, yeah.
Yeah, bang on right. I like it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So,
what about, but the water worms have been eating away at the wood that make up this pier?
Yes.
So that's a problem. So they want to reinforce it, or are they going to rebuild it with cement or concrete?
Replace it with new timbers.
New timbers, okay. So how big of a area are we talking about? Is this a huge pier type of thing, or what?
Well, I know that 41 of the green hot timber piles need replacing.
41?
It's a lot.
Yeah. Can you do this from the state? It's online where you just go to the website
and do it? It's online. Anybody in the world, any person in the world, any diver in the world can go onto the Swanage Pier Trust, onto the crowdfunding site, and they can make any donation from £10, which is going to be about, what, $15, I think, at the moment. Up to quite a lot of money.
Well, £250 will get you the plaque, and they'll put that what on that people walk on, or do you know where they're
going? Yes, it goes on the pier. The timbers on the pier, and you walk over it.
Yeah,
and it's on the pier for 25 years.
Hmm. So do divers just go and dive right off of the pier, or do they swim up to it, or what do they do?
You basically park on the pier, and then you can walk down it, and there's some steps down into the water, and you can swim around there. Or there's dive boats that moor up, and you walk along the pier and then get onto a dive boat, and you sail away to go and do a dive.
I see. So
it's both.
Pretty nice visibility there, or what do you get to see?
Oh, gosh, do you know what, Greg? Underneath what? The pier, it looks like a tossed Marks and Spark salad.
It looks like a what?
A salad.
Okay, salad.
We end up with this really lovely Marks and Sparks. Is Marks and Spencer's is a kind of posh.
Oh, okay.
A posh brand over here. Looks like a very posh salad.
Okay.
And you end up with sea lettuce and kind of different kinds of kelp down there, and they're busy floating around in the currents, gently wafting around, and you end up with little crabs and, you know, velvet swimming crabs, and you end up with wrasse.
So it's a seafood salad. So it's obviously.
Seafood salad, Greg.
Right. And water temp and visibility is typical of what?
Oh, it depends on what time of year it is, but about 20, 22 degrees centigrade in the summer, which will be about 70 degrees Fahrenheit, roughly, and about 6 meters vis, so about 18 foot vis.
But it would be a cool place to go visit, especially it's a local hotspot for the area.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's a fantastic little dive site.
Well,
it's
I'm tempted. You know, if I bought a plaque or something, it'd kind of force me to go dive there. You could use it as motivation. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, it'd be really cool if Scuba Radio puts a plaque on the pier.
I got to come up with 250 pounds. I got some right here, but that's not the kind of poundage I think you want. And we'll just leave
it
at
Greg.
That. Yeah, well, or maybe I should apologize. All right. Well, thanks, Roz. I appreciate it, as always. And we'll connect with you again soon, okay?
Look after yourself, Greg.
All right. Coming up, we're going to connect with our friends from Divers Alert Network to tell you how to properly prepare for Florida spiny lobster season.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Ladies, never order a lobster on a date. The lobster is the most expensive thing on the menu, okay? So just know that if you order and consume a lobster, you have to touch your date's wiener. It's like a sexual contract from the sea.
They did the lobster dance.
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 They
did the lobster, lobster, lobster dance.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We are preparing for Bug Fest. Yes, Florida spiny lobster season is just around the corner here at the end of July. Cannot wait to join our friends, our diving friends down there at Lauderdale by the Sea. You can go to bugfestbythesea.com for all the information, how to join us for that big event. However, as we prepare for this, it's good to kind of reevaluate your diving skills before you just jump in the water and try to catch as many bugs as you can. Well, obviously up to the legal limit. And to help us talk about that and prepare accordingly, I got Dr. Peter Buzzacott from Divers Alert Network on Scuba Radio right now. Doc, how are you, buddy?
I am fine, Greg. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Now, I know you're going to be at Bugfest by the Sea as well, representing Dan, but you are preparing everybody leading up to Florida spiny lobster season by offering these seminars that Divers Alert Network is sponsoring. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I am looking forward to Bugfest, and I'm sure I'll see you there on the Thursday. But we're starting early this year in our preparations for mini-season. A team of us will be landing there next Wednesday, July 20th.
Yeah.
And we will be offering seminars daily in the lead-up to mini-season from as far north as Lauderdale and Miami all the way down through the Keys to as far south as Key West.
Excellent. Now, it kicks off July 20th in Isla Mirada at the History of Diving Museum. You can get the entire list of all these events, and it's highly recommended to go there and just get the latest scoop and how to prepare properly for lobster season at dan.org/events, and you can find out about the risk and hazards of lobster diving. That's what this seminar or presentation is called that you're presenting. Is that right, Doctor?
Yes, it is. We will be looking at the latest research that Dan has been conducting into lobster hunting and the risks and hazards. In fact, in a study that has not even been published yet, it's under peer review, so I expect that to come out soon. We looked at 400 fatalities, diving fatalities, carefully, and we compared the fatalities that happened when people were hunting for lobster with the fatalities that happened in the sea in recreational divers who weren't hunting for lobster. And the one thing that really stood out was that the people who died after running out of gas were twice as likely to have been hunting lobster. Mm. Now, we've all had bug fever. You know, you've almost got your limit. There's just one or two more to go.
Right.
And, you're down to 500 PSI or something, and you might just see a couple more feelers sticking out from under the ledge. We really need to remember that not to get bug fever and keep an eye on our gas.
Yes, it is hard to be disciplined in that regard when you catch lobster fever. No doubt about it. But what the research is showing that is the case, or do we know, or what?
Yes, that in another study, I followed 1,000 scuba divers around, and I compared the divers that came back with 350 PSI or less mm-hmm. with the divers, their dive buddies, that came back with 350 PSI or more.
Okay.
And we had a number of ideas about why people might almost run out of gas, and it could be that they were working harder, or they started with a little bit less pressure than normal, or a smaller tank, or they went deeper. There's a heap of different possibilities. But what we found quite clearly was they were surprised by how low their gas was because they had not been checking their gauge regularly.
Mm. Yeah, so that could be from inexperience, for not diving in a while, or just getting a heavy dose of lobster fever.
But that's right.
Yeah.
Yes. So our main message this year is to all lobster divers, have a great, safe time out there. Come back with your catch, but keep an eye on your gauge while you're under there.
Yeah.
And also, in the presentations, we'll be covering a few tips on how to take it easy on your heart. So tips for buoyancy control, making sure you're not overweighted and swimming around with a BCD full of air to compensate, because that just adds to your drag moving through the water.
Right.
And tips on navigation, so you don't have to swim against the current with a bag full of bugs after the dive, that sort of thing.
Sure. Any tips on actually how to catch them? I'm going to leave that to the other experts in that field, I guess, right?
That's right. My specialty is not in actually catching them.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, just making it safer. And that's what Divers Alert Network does, and they do great work. Now, you're also gathering more information for next year, and people can participate by, filling out a survey about their lobster diving this year or what? How's that work?
Yes, well, we'll be traveling around, meeting divers up and down the coast, and if we approach you and invite you to join in the survey, please feel free. We've got paper copies with us, but also anyone who is coming down to Florida to mini season this year to catch lobsters can find a survey on the Dan website, www.dan.org/lobster survey.
Sounds good, Dr. Peter Buzzacott, and we appreciate you guys doing the work that you do. Once again, if you want to check this out, and you should, if you're planning to do Florida spiny lobster diving for mini season, check out dan.org/events. Find out where he's going to be. Kicks off this Wednesday, July 20th, Isla Mirada at the History of Diving Museum. Peter, thank you so much for the update. We look forward to seeing you at Bugfest, okay?
Thank you, Greg. See you there.
Yes, bugfestbythesea.com. Make your plans to join us for that event as well. And get ready to celebrate lobsters. Oh my gosh, it's almost here. I'm so excited. It's the fever kicking in. What are you going to do? All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it is always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everybody.
Each little slug here, cutting a rug here.
Under the sea.
Each little snail here, know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here, down in the mud here.
Under the sea. Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.